Well, it was a week ago that we rolled the stone away from the tomb on our Easter garden, just as the stone had rolled away in the garden of that first Easter morning. The tomb had failed to hold death and grief and had instead become not a tomb, but a womb of new and risen life. Our gospel today takes us back to the evening of that first Easter day and then on to a further evening a week later, i.e. today. On that Easter evening, the doors were locked, sheltering the frightened disciples. Terrified by what had happened, unsure of what to believe, afraid that the authorities would suspect them of a plot to deceive, maybe even suspecting the words of those who had come to tell them they had seen the Lord, fearful that their lives were in danger, they had made that house a tomb, locking themselves in. And Jesus came, so gently, so quietly, with words of peace and the breath of the Holy Spirit. That breath of the Holy Spirit, which moved over the waters of creation at the beginning of the world, brings about another new beginning and another new creation. Here, the tomb of that locked house will become a womb, a place of new birth, new beginnings, new creation. The new birth will be in those fearful souls gathered in that room, who eventually will confidently proclaim to others that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah. They will have a new confidence, a new purpose, new insights, new understanding, and a new peace which underlies it all. And that promise is for us as well. Because we also lock ourselves in when we doubt other people, when we're afraid of the world out there, when we're afraid of the future. We build walls around ourselves when we're hurting, when we're grief-stricken, when we've lost confidence. But Jesus comes to us as well through those walls, so gently and so quietly. He brings those same words of peace to us and his breath of the Holy Spirit. And gosh, we live in a world, don't we, so badly in need of peace. The ceasefire in the Middle East is fragile, and the talks have broken down. The peace is non-existent in Lebanon. There is a fragile truce barely holding over Easter in Ukraine. And church leaders in South Sudan continue to call for an end to the violence and conflict they are enduring. How our world needs that breath of peace. But I think our world also needs trust. Because we tend to doubt each other. We doubt the world around us. We find it hard to trust. And so did Thomas, isolated and left out of that experience which the others had had. He suspected that their stories of Jesus' appearance could not be true. He needed to see it for himself. But a week later, although the doors were shut, there's no mention this time of fear or locks. So what had happened in that week between those two appearances? What had the disciples been doing? And what had happened to Thomas? Well, maybe like us, after a bereavement or shattering news, we navigate the week numbly, with arrangements to be made, disbelief that this has happened, a list of things to be done, and yet our world is turned upside down. So, maybe the disciples numbly returned to their occupations. Yes, they had seen the Lord. Yes, their hearts were filled with rejoicing. But yes, they still needed to make sense of all this. And they tried to make sense of his appearance on that first Easter day. Did they tentatively begin to tell others who would listen that they had seen the Lord? Did they begin to share the stories of where he had appeared and what he had said and done? Did they spend time consoling and persuading Thomas, trying to make up for the fact he wasn't there? And Thomas, poor, troubled Thomas, how we must all feel for him, missing out on that first Easter day. Did he spend the week in regret and hurt and anger that he'd been left out? Well, I think those disciples must have begun to grow in confidence, assimilating this new understanding into their very beings and trying to help him. Because in between those 2 weeks, they grew in that confidence and understanding, coming through the process of doubt and fear very gradually as the Holy Spirit brought them new life and new hope and new peace. Easter gifts foreshadowing Pentecost, gifts for us as well, for our spiritual growth and for our greater confidence, to bring us from fear and doubt to peace and belief. In a book I've been reading on holiness, the author writes of the ease in which we not only spotlight the diseased parts of our behaviour and in the world, but how easy it is to magnify their importance. And when we lock ourselves into tombs of bitterness and despair, we tend to see the world in the same light. But as we grow in the practice of hope and trust, so we might also begin to see the world in a more hopeful, trusting way, even in the face of war and suffering. And the author tells of another Thomas, Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk who entered a monastery in Gethsemane, USA, in 1941, full of disgust for the world. He was fed up, and he made the monastery his tomb, which the world could not enter. But in 7 years of daily spiritual growth, he began to see the world differently. The peace of the monastery and the invitation to trust changed him, so that when he had to accompany another monk on a journey into the world, I would argue that actually the world was in the monastery as well, but he found a deep sense of love and pity. And he wrote, "I went through the city, realizing how much value the people have in the sight of God." This is the message of Easter, that God values each one of us so much that he comes into the places where we build tombs of our fears and doubt and terror, and he brings us new life. New life where we build walls, new life where we hide, new confidence and trust, so that with Thomas and all the disciples and all those who have believed and not seen, we also may not doubt, but believe. Amen.